Tarqua very late. It's English a half length in front. Can he do it to Tarqua? He's flying. Yes, there's history. Tarqua makes it three in a row.
Welcome back to RSN Central. When I was on holidays, people would come up to me and say, geez, Gareth, I love this segment, Wayne's World. I thought to myself, what am I doing wrong on the other segments? But Wayne joins me. Good morning to you, Wayne.
Good morning. You got a head for radio. How would people be able to walk up to you? Because they don't know what you look like, yeah. You idiot.
You're very, very popular, Wayne. Where have you been?
Well, I've been working. You didn't even do a full year last year and you get holidays.
Okay.
Management's good for you. No, I've been to Gold Coast for 10 days. And you know what? Yeah. Mate of mine went with me. And he said, I'm telling everyone, and he's in transport, yeah. And he said, I'm telling everyone I'm in Brisbane. I said, Brisbane? He said, when you say the Gold Coast, it has a different aura about it. You know what I mean? So I actually thought about that. So I've been in Brisbane at the Magic Million Sales for the last 10 days. I was home for a week. Then I went to New Zealand for a week. Home for a week, and then I went to Sydney Classic Sale. So it's January's the hardest time of the year for trainers. It's harder than Melbourne Cup Week because you're doing all your stuff at home and then you've still got to head off to all the yearling sales.
I was watching you closely on the Gold Coast, and to be brutally honest...
You know what I gave him, everybody? Donuts.
To be brutally honest, like...
Don't worry about brutal.
Team Hawks.
Donuts.
Team Hawks turn up at the sales, and Wayne follows his old man around, and I'm thinking... What are you doing here, Wayne? Like, John's making all of the decisions.
I didn't know.
And then Michael's probably the 2IC, and Wayne's there on a junket. Like, I'm thinking, you should be back at Flemington looking after exceedance, Wayne. So can you just explain to everybody, why do you bother turning up?
Don't be dirty at a tent like people have down at St Kilda Beach as a marquee for for the thing, and I just wiped you.
Yeah,
I was busy, mate. I was busy.
Please, you're following John, the Hall of Famer, around, and he goes, go and buy me a coffee, Wayne, and Wayne goes and buys him a coffee. Go and get me the knife and forks, Wayne.
I know where my bread's buttered.
Yes.
Anyway, what were the Bucking Cup on the weekend? It would have been a bucking good weekend to be there, I reckon.
Did you enjoy it?
It was a bucking ripper.
Yeah.
Geez, I won't want to say that too many times, will I?
You got to watch your bees there. But Caitlin King, she rode Tycoon Felix, and she was a great interview, and you could see and you could hear the joy in her voice. And we mentioned it on so many occasions already here on RSN this morning, but it's been inspiring to watch that community do what they did over the last 4 to 5 weeks to make sure that meeting goes ahead. And I guess that's what racing can do to those kind of communities as well.
It's probably not racing, it's just probably the Aussie way, I reckon. Yeah. I mean, we can't speak for other international countries, but gee whiz, when we're down and out, it's amazing how we all just lift. So out of something as bad, excuse me, to see, look, I won't lie to you, I actually Googled where Bucking was. I didn't actually know where it was. I've never been fortunate enough.
Well, you should go there. It's a beautiful part of the world.
Probably should, but you know what the problem is? They run a meeting called Flemington at the same day. So let's have a standalone Saturday at Bucking. We'll all get down there and we'll have a buck and ripper time.
Did you enjoy the sales? Did you think that Team Hawks purchased well? Were you happy with the way that those particular sales went?
Yeah, the Gold Coast sale was exceptional. Sydney was pretty much how Sydney is. But the sale I was disappointed with was New Zealand. They're in a bit of trouble over there.
Why? Please explain.
Well, they don't have the top stallions. You know, like if you took you take away Sava Beale and you take away David Ellis, their key buyer, gee whiz, they probably sell 100 yearlings in Australia. I reckon next year they'll sell 150. If we got those 100 that sell in Australia back into New Zealand, we all would have walked in there 3 weeks ago going, wow, this is not a bad catalogue. So they're in a bit of a difficult situation, they are.
They do their Karaka meeting really, really well.
Karaka's outstanding.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a first-class facility to go and work at, and the hospitality is second to none. They give you better hospitality at Karaka than what they do at Sydney Easter.
And they can't help it in this country at the moment with the drought. Obviously, what's been happening in New South Wales, and they've had a little bit of rain recently, but before that rain, it was a tough 3 years for the Hunter Valley especially.
Well, it has been, but you know what? I mean, the thing about it is that animals are pretty resilient, and... You know what? It probably cleaned up lots of the bugs and lots of the wrong things that were here. You had to be in Sydney last week to believe it, and I was in Sydney. I mean, if you imagine it raining as hard as you can imagine it, that's how it just went for 3 days. I mean, you're talking inches and inches and inches in hours. excuse me. So the upside is all the bushfires got wiped out, and the dams went up 40%, and probably washed away a heap of bugs and flu and crap like that.
What I'm trying to say, in New Zealand, because of the climate, it would be a beautiful part of the world to breed a thoroughbred.
It's probably one of the best parts of the world.
Yeah. Will that help them down the track, do you think?
No, because what they need is they need better pedigrees, and they need better stallions. And the other thing is about Australia, we're in a hell of a good spot right mm-hmm. now. We've just lost Redoutes, and you've lost horses like that, but you've got Schnitzels and I'm Invincibles and Zoo Stars, you know, breathing down their throat, let alone, you know, Exceeding Excels and some of those horses. And we've got all our young horses coming through in the next few years. I mean, look at our crop of three-year-olds this year. Forget about what's actually at stud. Look at our crop of three-year-olds this year that are going to be at stud later this year and or next year. I mean, New Zealand can't compete with that. So they're in big trouble. They've got to do two things. They've got to get some brood mares, and they've got to pull together and start buying a couple of these stallions.
I was at Cambridge Stud during the holiday period, and that's what they've done. They've purchased a lot of brood mares, and I think they're on the right track, and they've had no luck with their stallions.
No, they're a great stud. Three in a row, I think.
Yeah, and I can only comment on that particular stud because I went and had a look at Cambridge Stud. They've done a lot of work on it as well, and of course it was kickstarted by the legend Sir Patrick Hogan. But I think they're on the right track, so I hope New Zealand racing can blossom.
Because anyone that's been to New Zealand knows how good it is, and the thing is, I mean, their record of breeding good horses is amazing. But since the Bill, God rest his soul, was dead and buried, they haven't had a replacement, and they're not looking like having one anytime
soon. Savabeel's going okay?
He's going okay, but see, the biggest problem with Savabeel is his fillies are great, but his colts need gelding straight away, and if you're paying half-decent money, people don't want to geld them, so his statistics as far as colts goes, not the best.
Peter Moody, I was with Peter Moody on race day morning there on Saturday, and this is what he had to say about the three-year-olds not competing in the Lightning Stakes there on Saturday afternoon.
Well, the top-line three-year-olds, if they can't measure up to the older horses sprinting in the autumn, maybe they're not top-line three-year-olds. You've got the Triple Crown here, William Reid, TJ Smith in Sydney's probably grand final. You know, the top-line three-year-olds, if they're not going to measure up and beat the older horses at this point in time, maybe they don't. So you shouldn't suggest that they are top-line.
So Peter Moody was hit. That was his comments regarding only the 1 3-year-old in the Lightning. And he also mentioned that maybe it's the quality of the older horses, that they're probably not as good as they have been over recent years, and that's why the 3-year-olds have started to dominate. But he was alluding to why Exceedance wasn't there in that Group 1 Lightning, because if he was there, he would have been pretty hard to beat, you would imagine.
Well, Exceedance wasn't there for one reason, that he, you know, and I've got bragging, right? So it's as simple as that. He's won the best 3-year-old race in the country, the Coolmore. His job's done, Your Honour. It's all over.
Yep.
And whatever he does from here on in is a bonus. So everyone's up and about and getting their horses ready to go. And Exceedance had his first jump out 3 days ago, and really, he probably could have waited till this Friday. There's no rush. So Exceedance is only going to have maybe 3 runs this campaign, and that's all he's going to have. I mean, you don't run them 6 times and win twice as many races, and he's worth a lot of money, so the job's done.
So Bivouac, he's decided to go. Well, James Cummings and Godolphin have decided to wait an extra week and go to the Oakley Plate instead of the Lightning. Yep. Is the Lightning always going to struggle to get some of the best 3-year-olds? Because the Coolmore, for instance, is in during the Flemington Carnival, and those 3-year-olds simply don't get enough time to recover to be ready for a Lightning?
Well, I reckon the Lightning Stakes is probably an easier race to win. Won both of them, so I do have some kudos to actually talk about it. And I reckon the Lightning's arguably easy because it's a smaller field, it's up the straight, there's less interference in the Oakley Plate. It's one of those races. It's a bit like a Toorak Handicap and Doncaster and those types of races, the Oakley Plate. There's always 4 that should have won. Simple as that. Every single year, there's always a few, maybe not shorter ones, but you know what I'm getting at. So they're very, very hard races to win. So arguably, sometimes you're better off to run your horses in the wait for age races, like what Peter Moody was saying. But the bottom line is, maybe they didn't think Bivouac was going to be a dead set. He's not a dead set 1,000-metre horse, because he can certainly run a strong 1,400, because all the boys did that in the spring when they ran in the Golden Rose. But what my comment Friday morning was that there's no grand final for the 3-year-olds, so there's no rush. In Sydney, you've got the Golden Rose, which happens early. Then you've got the Caulfield Guineas after that. And then after that, you've got the Coolmore. And arguably, the Caulfield Guineas probably was the biggest race, but I have no doubt, I don't think anyone would dispute, that the Coolmore now is the biggest race. We don't have a race like that in the autumn now, so we are forced to run these three-year-olds in the Oakley Plates and Newmarkets and Lightning Stakes. So, you know, the only real big race is probably the Arrowfield left on Championships Day.
So what do you want, another three-year-old race?
Well, why not? Why do we have to race against the older horses? Simple as that. You know what I mean? I mean, everything else
because
is in its
own
grade. Because
you've been dominating them anyway, so...
So what? I mean, I actually wish Yes was still there. I mean, I was, you know, no one wants to see a horse go amiss. And to have these great horses running around, I mean, you know, Saturday, I mean, it had nothing to do with the race. I had one runner and I scratched because of the track conditions. And, mate, Catalyst had Alligator. He had him cold.
Yeah.
At least once, maybe twice, and the will to win, and you know, Ryan, what's his name, Maloney, his ride was amazing. I mean, he just didn't panic. He sat, and he just waited for the end, and I reckon about the 400, you thought, gee, he's not going for him. Maybe he's not quite handling the track, because it was hard underneath and soft on top, a bit like yourself.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is... that was a freaky two great horses going to the line, and they haven't even come across the exceedance yes bivouac form line yet. They've got their own form line. So if we had a three-year-old race that was a 12 or a 1400 meter race, imagine those horses all going towards that one race. I mean, it'd be one hell of a race, wouldn't it? Because we've got a stack of them. We haven't mentioned Castelvecchio and horses like that.
Maybe the Golden Eagles that race.
Well, it probably is, but that's not this time of the year.
It's a four-year-old race.
Yes, 100%. That's where all these horses are going to go, and make no mistake about it. I mean, if you're back in the spring with exceedance, why would you want to come to Melbourne? It's as simple as that. It's a race worth a lot of money, and it's not much difference between first prize in the Melbourne Cup to the Golden Eagle. It's about the same sort of money now.
0416905052 to join the conversation here, and I'll get to those SMSs in just a minute. The rivalries are great, aren't they, in racing? We've had the dominance of... It was great to see Black Caviar back at the races there on Saturday, but we've had the dominance of Winx in recent years. But to see a clash between Catalyst and Alligator Blood...
It's as good as you see. It's as good as you get.
And the build-up. Those two horses, especially the Blood, he was shown on all of the free-to-air TV networks and their nightly news bulletins. David Van Dyke was brilliant with his... accessibility towards the media. I don't think he knocked back an interview, and it really built up the anticipation of that race.
And the Kiwi horse came over with the big wraps on him, and you know what? He didn't disappoint. He's only got beaten by the proverbial Bob of the you know what. So it was a was a proper race for proper horses.
Right now, which horse do you want heading into the Guineas?
Gee, that's a big one because you look at Super Seth and he's coming down another path. So,
Futurity would,
And then you got Mike Moroney's horse that, what's his name?
Alabama Express.
He's now a weight for age group one winner. I mean, the Guineas might end up being one of the great races. I mean, it would be good if it was. It would be good if it was the Caulfield Guineas of Redoutes beat Testarossa, Commands ran third, and Pins ran fourth, just to ping off four pretty ordinary stallions. It'd be fantastic if we could get an Australian Guineas that we look back in, you know, back on yesteryear, you know, down the track and go, wow, look at those great stallions. I mean, the Australian Guineas, not that it's been lost, but it probably hasn't had the hoo-ha of in the last 5 or 10 years. I reckon we need to get it back, and this might be the race that that gets it back.
And it's like any sport, really. You have that 2001 draft where you have Ablett Jr., Bartel, Luke Hodge, Luke Ball. Yep. It's just a freakish year for talent.
Yep.
This year is the same for that three-year-old crop.
Correct.
Everywhere you look, even the stays, like looking forward to seeing like a Miami Bound come back after she dominated an Oak. So... that three-year-old Guineas will be something
Flit
else.
Flit wins on Saturday, and even the horse of Snowden's that ran second in the 1,000 Guineas to win. I mean, he pulled away straight away. I can't think what her name was, but she's a really, really good filly. So Libertini didn't quite go as good on Saturday. No. I didn't think. I thought she was a touch disappointing, but you know what? We've got some great three-year-olds.
Do you agree what the Freedman Stable have done with Super Seth? It's probably harder to win Australian Guineas than, say, go down the path of winning a weight for age 7 furlong race there next Saturday in the Futurity.
Well, I suppose what they're looking at.
He's a bull.
I suppose what they're looking at is he's a stallion and the ticker box, like Alabama Express has done. He's to win a weight for age group one race. You put the WFA alongside of it. You've ticked every box. So if Super Seth was lucky enough to win, let me tell you, he's going to have to earn it. It won't be easy by any stretch. It's it might have been a proper call considering how the Australian Guineas might end up.
I think hats off to Racing Victoria, and you can agree or disagree here, but I think with the All-Star Mile, they've definitely got their programming right to make sure that they get these horses here competing in Victoria.
Look, for a $5 million race, truthfully, you'd actually want to.
Yeah.
I mean, my sources tell me that they've got $1.5 million to spend on publicity. So, you know, you got a $7 million bucks to spend this year. It'd want to be a good race for $7 million.
It's, have you voted?
Have I voted? No.
Well, it's too late now. Why didn't you vote?
No
support
interest.
The why?
Because I'm not a voter.
Who would you vote for?
In the All-Star Mile. Wouldn't have a clue. Would not have a clue.
True. Why? Doesn't interest you?
Don't ever run, so I'm not interested.
Okay.
Is that wrong?
Well, no.
Do you care about the grand final if your team doesn't run? Do you care about a preliminary final
if
your team
doesn't
run? Well,
I do because I'm a racing fan, Wayne.
Okay, and that's fine. And I'm a racing fan too, but I suppose I'm a bit more blinkered and a bit more one-eyed because personally I only worry about my own horses. I'm not a punter.
No.
So you take away the punting aspect straight away. The only thing that enthuses me is when I see Alligator Blood and Catalyst go
head-to-head.
Bob of the head.
Would you have trained Chautauqua for a mile race because he would have been so popular with the All-Star Mile?
We thought about that, and when he ran in the George Ryder against Winx, that was why that was a reason why he ran in that race. The 1500 at Rose Hill to see whether he'd run, because everyone that rode him said he feels like he could run, you know, 2000. But the truth was, he couldn't. He was really a 1200 to 1400, you know, a tough 1200/1400 meter horse. So. Mm. You know, that's what it is. And it's amazing industry, you know, like 200 metres is a huge gap. And I mean, you know, you go and ask an Olympic swimmer, they could probably do the 50 metre amazing, but 100 they're not as strong.
Yeah.
Or 200 they're fantastic and 400's too hard. So small, short distances in sport must, you know, seem like an eternity.
0416905052 to join the conversation. You can tweet us at RSN927 or jump on our Facebook page at RSN Racing and Sport. Don't forget David Gately is after Wayne Hawks. If you've got a question for Gator, let us know and we'll ask him. Our topic of conversation today was great rivalries in sport. When I think about great horse rivalries, I think back to, say, Octagonal, Saintly, and Nothing Like a Dane. In their three-year-old season,
they were great horses. This crop of three, the class of '92 was when they were born, and they're the best lot of horses that I've actually seen in my era. The class of '92, they just were champions in their own right and proper champions. The Word and Cox Plate, Melbourne Cup winners, and
it was '95, wasn't it?
Yeah, but they were born in '92.
Okay,
so the class of '92
yep.
is what I meant. Octavius Brand is 8/2 because he was out of 8 carat. So. This crop is the best crop since. But then, you know what? Being biased, you've only got to go back about 8 years ago and there was a little horse called All Too Hard and a little one called Piero. Now, would they have given these boys something this year? 100% they would have. They're as good as this crop. You know what? I'll argue they might nearly have been better than this crop, and that's how good those two horses were. So we've had some great challenges. I reckon my personal one was the year in the BMW when Freemason beat Northerly by a bob of the head. That was one of the greatest races I've ever experienced.
Fred Kersley does not agree.
No, he doesn't. He actually was staying at Crown Lodge, and he was Freemason was box 109, and Northerly was box 100.
One of the great upsets.
Well, it was indeed.
Just with that, there was a wonderful piece of footage shown on social media there on Saturday with Alligator Blood walking past Catalyst and eyeing him off. Do you think the great horses know who their biggest rivalries are?
I would have said no, but once you've trained a grey horse called Chautauqua, anything could happen with these horses. And Lonro was Lonro didn't care about any horse in the world except for Faith Hill. And Faith Hill was Ron Quinton's mare, and she came down to Melbourne in the spring, and he would pick her from 100 yards away. Albeit she was grey, he used to scream his head off at her and was the only horse that I've ever seen him do it to. I told Ron and the owners, and what they did was they sent Faith Hill to Lonro, and the filly that, that was produced ended up being Lonro's first stakes winner. It won a listed race in Queensland. I know its name. I can't remember it, but he had an affinity with Faith Hill. She must have just been a good sort, I reckon. But
true love.
Do they know? Don't know, because you know what? You say they don't know, but if a horse goes back into box 15 and they're coming off the walker machine and 16's on behind it, they might yell out to their mate, "Where are you?" And then they come back and they're happy. So they do actually recognise other horses.
I've heard stories say in the gallops, but also in the trots, like Gamelight and Popular Arm. And Popular Arm would walk into Harold Park and he would spot Gamelight halfway down the barn and want to charge him and eye him off. And obviously they were great rivals in those days. And I remember Darren Binskin telling me that story. So I think sometimes maybe the good ones know who their biggest rivals are.
The good horses do amazing things. I mean, someone told me Octagon won the 10 group ones by a combined winning margin of 3¾ lengths. And he only ever just got there, and he only ever just did the job, and you went, well, you know what, you only have to just win. Yeah. And I remember being in Adelaide when he had the exhibition gallop and Darren Beeben rode him. He'd never been on the grass track at Morpheville, and Dad was there, and long story short, he said to Darren, he said, go out on the track, turn right, Adelaide way of going, trot all the way around, get to about the 800, let him canter off. He said, come around the corner. It's his last ride ever. He said, let him zoom home and let, you know, give everyone a bit of goosebumps or whatever. D. Beeman let him go. He said he felt awesome. But the amazing thing I'm getting at was he got to the winning post. He'd never been on the track before. He got to the winning post and then shut down. So tell me that he didn't know what he was doing. And
yeah,
Beeman said, I never thought that with the 10 group ones until that day. And he went, you know what? He actually knew where it was.
Morning, Gareth. What about the rivalry back in the late 80s, early 90s in harness racing? Knights v. Peaks, Gallops Hayes v. Freeman. There were some epic battles there. Should the Gallops allow semen transport, AI?
No, I don't think so, because you're going to end up in breeding just about. I wouldn't agree.
Morning, Gareth. Big shout out to the Croydon Bowling Club for their fantastic effort in raising nearly $20,000 for the fire brigades on Saturday night, the Sarsfield and Kajiwea fire brigades. Also, well done to RSN for donating such a prize for the auction. Well done there to Maddie. You lads, yes, would have won the Lightning. Probably would have went close, but G-Trail was great. Great story, Gordon Richards.
Yeah, he is. Another boy from Adelaide. The water's good in Adelaide. Was what do you reckon of the favourite? $1.20 pop?
What is with Nature's Trip? And you have a look at his record when he starts under $2.50. It's like he knows. He likes to rub it in.
He doesn't.
He probably does know, talking about how smart these horses are.
Well, there's not many winkses and so forth. When they're short price, bookmakers always win, don't they?
They do. What do you make of Nature's Trip?
I thought he just overraced a bit and probably blew out at the end. You know, I mean they're hard races. He's a hard going horse and he did the same thing first up last prep.
Well, he handed up last time. First up last prep.
He did exactly.
Like, can you trust him again?
Yeah, of course you can. You have a bad day, don't you, Gareth?
Yes, but correct. Not when I'm $1.40.
Oh, I don't know about that. I've seen you at $1.40.
What happened to Spend?
Well, we scratched him.
It
was too wet, so we're going to run him. He got beat 4.2 behind Super Seth, the Caulfield Guineas winner, at his first up, second race start ever, and we didn't risk it. The problem was the spitty, snotty rain that we had on Saturday. You couldn't see it on the forecast, and I drove Liam O'Keefe mad from 6 a.m. About the track, and when it got downgraded, we scratched. We're going to run him Saturday in the Zetative or Saturday in Sydney in the Hobartville.
It was
what about the Peace and the Knights? Do you know what? The trots were the absolute go back in the
and your dad loves the trots.
Oh, he's mad on it. He just bought another trotter the other
day
as well. Yeah, a pacer. Yes.
You might have to get you working there at the, you know, Lindsay Smith's training a few of those horses on the back of a sulky.
At the sand dunes?
Yes.
I'm not allowed to say sand dunes anymore.
You should go and maybe do some work experience there.
Down the sand dunes? Yeah, good.
No, maybe put a horse on the back with the lead.
I've done that before. I've actually driven a sulky.
Okay.
Used to do it in Adelaide.
Put it this way. The harness horses wouldn't need a heavy cart then when you're sitting
behind
them.
Let me tell
you
something. I reckon I was 50 kilo lighter back then in the Adelaide days.
Hey, welcome back. It's always a lot of fun.
Thanks. It was all yours.
We'll catch you again next Monday.
Thank you very much.